This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Wealth, children, and cold water. And cold water. أحب إلي, more beloved to me than my life, my wife, my wealth. Cold for them would either be because the weather changes, and so it becomes cold, or it would come from a particular well that was cold. Because some wells are very deep. And so it's so deep that actually when you draw water, it could be hot outside, but the water you are drawing is colder in temperature. So it's really relative to the circumstances and the place. But definitely we have very cold drinks because of the methods that we have available to us with modern technology. Yes. Yes. And so they used to have containers that would be insulating. And they still have them until today. Actually, I was just at someone's house not too long ago, very recently, and they had one of these containers on the table. And it was sitting there on the table. It was not from the fridge. But when you poured water from it, you removed the cork and you poured water from it, it was cool. I'm not going to say it was ice cold like you took it out of the fridge, but it was definitely colder than room temperature. You know, because it was insulating. So they used to use that. They also used to use containers that were lined with tanned leather. So it would be insulating. You know, it would be like a container, and it would be wrapped, you know, with some leather and whatnot, tanned. It would be hardened, and they would tie it. So it would be insulating. So it would keep the water temperature cooler. Wallahu a'lam. طيب, let's go to the next narration. حدثنا, قال حدثنا أحمد بن منيع, قال حدثنا إسماعيل بن إبراهيم, قال حدثنا علي بن زيد, عن عمر هو ابن أبي حرملة عن ابن عباس قال دخلت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنا وخالد بن الوليد على ميمونة. فجاءتنا بإناء من لبن فشرب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا على يمينه وخالد عن شماله فقال لي الشربة لك فإن شئت آثرت بها خالدا فقلت ما كنت لأثر على سؤرك أحدا ثم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أطعمه الله طعاما فليقل اللهم بارك لنا فيه وأطعمنا خيرا منه ومن سقاه الله عز وجل لبنا فليقل اللهم بارك لنا فيه وزدنا منه ثم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس شيء يجزئ مكان الطعام والشراب غير اللبن. So in this narration, on the authority of Ibn Abbas, a very interesting story. Ibn Abbas says, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and myself and Khalid ibn al-Walid, three people, we entered and we visited the house of Maymuna. Now, Ibn Abbas and Khalid ibn al-Walid and another narration, another companion, is the khala, is the maternal aunt. Maymuna is their maternal aunt. So, this is just to clarify so that we know that they were all mahram for one another. So, he said we entered, and so Maymuna presented to the Prophet ﷺ a container that had laban, that had milk. And she gave it to the Prophet ﷺ, and he drank from it. And he drank from this container. And Ibn Abbas says, Abdullah Ibn Abbas, his companion, he says, I'm sitting on the right-hand side of the Prophet ﷺ, to his right, and Khalid is sitting to the left of the Messenger of Allah. Now, Ibn Abbas is far younger than Khalid in age, difference of age. Khalid is much older than Ibn Abbas. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Ibn, after he drank from it and he's going to share with them, he said to Ibn Abbas, "You are next in line. Ash-sharbatu lak. You deserve to be given the drink next because you're on the right." And we start serving people from the right. However, he says to Ibn Abbas, and look at the adab, the etiquette and the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "But if you allow to relinquish your right to go next, you can prefer Khalid, since he's older," that's what's implied. The Prophet didn't say that, but it's implied. "Because he's older than you, you can let him drink first, out of respect for him." So Ibn Abbas said, "No." He said, "No." He said, ما كنت لأوثر على سؤرك أحدا. He said, "I am not going to prefer anyone over myself when it comes to getting something left over from you." سُؤر ما بقي من الشيء. سؤرك, any, whatever is remaining from what you have taken. It could be food or drink or whatnot. And the idea is that the Prophet ﷺ is blessed, and that which he comes into contact with is blessed. And so for the Prophet to drink from this container means that there is extra virtue and blessing for the next person who's going to get to drink from that container as well. And so Ibn Abbas, maybe in another situation, he would have let Khalid go before him because he was older. But in this case, he said, "No. Because it's something that I'm getting from you, O Messenger of Allah, I'm not letting nobody get in front of me. Even if they are older, I will go first." And the Prophet ﷺ honored that and he gave it to him. We have a very similar narration. This particular narration I've read to you, the chain of narration has weakness in it. Isnaduhu da'if. There is weakness in the narration. But we find a very strong, authentic narration mentioning a very similar situation, but Ibn Abbas's name is not mentioned. They just say ghulam. So some of the scholars of hadith said this is referring to Ibn Abbas. And if it is, then that strengthens this narration. And if it doesn't, then perhaps those that documented placed his name there, but actually it may have been someone else. But the point is, it was someone younger. It was someone younger than Khalid ibn al-Walid. There also is another similar narration. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. There is another similar narration, I believe in Sahih, it's one of the authentic collections, Sahih Muslim, if I'm not mistaken, where the Prophet ﷺ was sitting, and on his right was A'rabi, a Bedouin man. Basically a man who's not from the city. He doesn't live with them. He lives in the outskirts. And on his left was Abu Bakr. On his left is Abu Bakr. And so in front of him, Umar was sitting. And so the Prophet ﷺ got something to drink. And he was about to offer it to the guy on his right, who was just some Bedouin man, and Umar interjected and said, "Give it to Abu Bakr first." And so the Prophet ﷺ asked the man permission, and he said, "No, I will go first. I'm not going to let Abu Bakr go first." Umar was trying to like get defensive, because Abu Bakr and this guy, you know, Abu Bakr is very special. He's like the best of the companions. You got to let him drink next. So we learn so much from this hadith. So many etiquettes that we learn. Let's see. What do you guys extract? Usually I just sit here and talk, but tonight some of you are falling asleep. So what can you guys extract? What are some etiquettes that we can extrapolate from this narration? Bismillah. Who will go first? Who will go first and be like Ukasha? Yes, sabaqaka biha Ukasha, ya Abdullah. Beautiful. Jazakallah khairan. Allah bless you and increase you in knowledge. So, if someone is next in line and they have the right to go next, and you would like to shift that to someone else, you should ask them for permission first. You should ask permission first. Someone else, maybe you want to honor them because of their age or because of their status or what have you. But before you shift to someone else, you should ask permission first. Very good. So asking permission. And if the Prophet ﷺ did it, nobody would tell him, you have to ask permission. He's Rasulullah. But he is teaching us, ask permission. Yes, Abdullah. Yes. Good. Jazakallah khairan. Allah increase you in beneficial knowledge. So he's saying what we can learn from this is that the companions, the Sahaba, the companions of the beloved messenger, would compete with one another for what? Who's going to have more bragging rights? Who's going to have more praiseworthy things set up? No. They're competing to have more blessings and have barakah from the Prophet ﷺ. So probably, like we said, if it was some other situation, we see the Sahaba so generous, giving up their drink and giving up their food and going hungry for someone else. But here, it's like, what happened to all that generosity? No, no, no. Here, it's about getting blessings from the Rasulullah. So here, this one, there's no ithar, there's no generosity here. I got to compete. So this is a good point. Yes, anything else that we can extract from this? Something very obvious. Anything from this side of the room before we move? Healthy competition. So good, healthy competition. So basically, what do we mean by healthy competition? Two things. Well, what do you mean by it? Before I put words in your mouth. Good. Good. So how they are competing and what they're competing for. So imagine they're competing for something good, but then they end up fist fighting. Is that healthy competition? No. Or imagine they're competing in a very nice way, but they're not competing for something good. So competing for something good and in a way that is good. Okay. Anything else other than competition? All the way in the back. Ya Waleed. Good. So that we see that Abu Bakr is very special and valuable and virtuous, and his station is high. Good. How about from the particular narration we read here? So we don't favor other people over others just because of who they are if there are certain etiquettes. So we follow certain etiquettes, and then within those etiquettes, we can express preference for some over others, again, with permission and whatnot. Yes? Very good. Jazakallah khairan. I thought this one would be the first one. Begin serving people from the right. So here is a question. So the ulama, they commented on this hadith. They said, do you always have to start serving people from your right? What if there's no one on your right? How does this work? So they said, okay. Because sometimes the Prophet ﷺ is sitting and no one is beside him. There's people across from him. And so he begins. Do you have to start from the right or here? So they said, look. When do you prefer, because here the Prophet clearly preferred his right over Khalid. Even though we know that the Prophet ﷺ said, to begin from with to honor the elders. The Prophet ﷺ said, kabbir, kabbir, meaning honor those that are older. Honor those that are older. Begin with the elders first. Begin with the elders first. In the hadith of Abu Bakr that Waleed was commenting on, when Umar said, no, no, start with Abu Bakr. He is older, he is more virtuous. The Prophet responded and he said, Al-Yameen. And in another version of that narration, he said three times, he said, start with your right, start with your right, start with your right. And so one of the Sahaba commented on this, Anas ibn Malik, and he said, فَهِيَ sunnah, هِيَ sunnah, هِيَ sunnah. He said, it is a tradition of the Prophet ﷺ, it is a tradition of the Prophet ﷺ, it is a tradition of the Prophet ﷺ. So when do we start with the right and when do we prefer the elders? Because in Islam we are taught to honor the elders. So it's almost like we have two competing etiquettes. Which one takes precedence? Anybody want to take a go at it? See if you can reconcile between these? I feel like you're going to say something in the back, but you're holding back. Okay. This is not going to make it. Tayyib. So the ulama said, yes, you're going to say something, Michael.
I'm just wondering, why didn't the elder just sit to the right?
Why didn't the older guy just come on the right side and we would have solved the whole problem? Well, it wasn't planned that way. People just sat normally wherever was the first open place for them to sit. And it just so happened when something came to be served, the younger person was on the right, the older person was on the left. So the ulama said something very... And really what amazes me about this, these are not laws. This isn't science, it's an art. This is etiquette, this is manners. There's nothing about obligation here. But what amazes me is how much the scholars dissected the actions of the Prophet ﷺ. So they gathered all of these narrations where Rasulullah is giving something to someone first before the other person. And they're trying to put them into groups. So they said, if you are sitting in a formation where people are side by side, then the precedence is given to starting on your right. Al-Ayman, thumma al-Ayman, thumma al-Ayman. The one on the right, and then the one on the right, and then the one on the right. Even if they are younger. And if you want to change that, then you have to get their permission. You have to get their permission. However, they said, if you are not sitting in a particular formation where someone is on your right side and someone is on your left side, you're sitting across from each other, they said, in that situation, you begin with the elders. You know, if there's the seating arrangement is in such a way where people are not directly to the right or left or whatnot, then in that case, kabbir kabbir, then in that case, you begin with the elders. But if you are like in a line and there's people on the right, on the left, then you start with the right. You start with the right. So this is one way that the ulama reconciled between these different etiquettes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, good. So when we come to greet people, the Prophet ﷺ said that the young person begins with salam with the older person. Now you said shaking hand, musafaha. Musafaha is something that is in the jurisdiction of the elders. So the young person should begin with salam, but the older person can begin with musafaha. This is just etiquette, yani it's adab. Because they say for a young person to put out their hand, yani, perhaps they're not aware of some circumstances where they shouldn't be shaking that person's hand or what have you. So the idea is, al-saghir yabda'u bis-salam, wal-kabir yabda'u bil-musafaha. This is not a direct hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ refers to salam, saying, as-salamu alaykum. And the Prophet ﷺ said, al-mar yusallimu ala al-jalis. And the one who is passing will begin, initiate the salam to those that are sitting. To those that are sitting. How about in the example of a small group and a larger group, or an individual and a group? Who begins in that case? So the individual begins towards the group, or one smaller group to the larger group. So does that make sense? So the Prophet ﷺ would love to begin from his right. Unless there was no one on his right, then he would honor the elders and begin with the elders. Yes. Yeah. And then you go inside the store, you come outside, and I'm sitting outside. You come say, salamu alaykum, shake my hand again. Yeah. And he goes 5 minutes, and comes back. Like, who's get away from me?
Yeah.
So
I said, so that every time they split between a tree between him and the Sahaba, they reach a hand or something like that.
Right. So they would say salam, but shaking hand is not mandatory for salam. You can say salam to someone without shaking their hand. So you can say wa alaykum as-salam, but you don't have to shake my hand every time. Khalas, ta'ibna. Right? Although it's fine if you do that. It's fine if you shake their hand multiple times. You don't have to shake their hands, but there is virtue in it. It is good. But if it's becoming, you know, if it becomes to the point where it becomes burdensome or creates a difficulty, then you shouldn't make things burdensome on other people. You can just say salam and wave and walk past. You don't have, maybe the brother is carrying things, maybe like you right now, he's carrying his child, and every time I got to put down the baby, and then the baby starts crying, now look what you've done. You know, he's like, ruh anta wassalatu. So, I mean, it's like we said, it's not so much a matter of law and science as much as it is etiquette and manners. And these are things that you just learn from being with elders and kind of picking up on people's ahwal, people's, you know, situations, and being considerate. Being considerate of their situations.
What about looking first? At happiness of someone sitting and then late, then right,
So someone is sitting and then they leave?
No. Someone sits.
Yes.
And the other can leave.
Okay. And they want to sit down. So what's the question?
The question is, you know, am I not the one who can leave? Right?
Or the one who came first? If you want to serve them something,
yes,
then you'll begin with the one who's on your right. If they're side by side, you begin with the one who is on your right. Yeah. The order for how to sit and where to sit? So the Prophet ﷺ said that somebody may come to the majlis, they may come to a gathering, and they sit in the back where they first find an opening because they don't want to go over, they don't want to climb over people. So there is goodness in that. And then someone else sees an open seat in the front of the gathering, so they want to go to the front of the gathering. So then also they are taking that extra step and coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if their intention is correct. So long as a person is not doing adha, so long as a person is not harming other people. Somebody may see a seat in the front, or an open space in the front, in the first row for example, and they end up like knocking people's heads and causing a lot of problems, that's not appropriate. So if there is a way for you to come to the front, then you should do so. And a lot of this goes back to a'raf, urf. A lot of this goes back to the customs, people's customs. What are the appropriate customs? So if we are going to visit some other people, or we're going to be in a new place, we should try to learn what their customs are before imposing upon them. This is خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, be forgiving and overlook and adopt the customs. Adopt the norms and the customs. مَا تَعَارَفَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. What people have agreed upon, of course, what's within the parameters of Allah's laws, of the laws of Allah and His Messenger. I'll give you an example. We went to go visit a city in Eastern Arabia called Al-Ahsa. Al-Ahsa. And so we went to go visit there, and we went to go visit a particular family, huge family. They're famous for having scholars of the Maliki school. And so we went to go meet some of the ulama that were of that family. And they have a gathering in their home. Big gathering. We're talking like 40, 50, 60 people. Right? Kind of like how we are here today. And the room is big. It's like a room like we're sitting in. And the chairs are lined against the wall in a rectangle. So we came and they told us. We just sat down. They said, no, sit over here. They directed us. And we are the guests. They're the host. So we follow directions. They said, sit over here. This is the place for you. And they made us sit in the front of the room to the right corner. So we sat down. We didn't think anything of it. Then as people are coming in, it seemed that everybody had a designated seat. So this guy comes in and he gives salam to these people and there's empty seats next to them. But he doesn't sit there. He goes and sits over there. This person comes, gives salam, but they sit over there. And people are like sitting and there's all these like empty seats. And as more people are coming, they're filling in the seats and filling in and filling in the seats and whatnot. And we didn't notice anything. Then later they told us, we have a family tradition in this family. It's a big, huge family. They said, our family tradition, whenever we have any majlis, whenever we have any gathering, we sit based on age and seniority. So in the middle of the room is the most senior and eldest of the family. And then from that place to his right and to his left, the next elderly person, and the next, and the next, and the next, and the next, until they go out. So the youngest people in the family are on this side of the square or the rectangle. So they made us sit, because we were guests, of course, we were much younger than them, but they made us sit to the right of the most senior and eldest of the ulama and of the people in that family. Why am I mentioning this? Because this is their urf. This is their custom. Now, we shouldn't enter into something like that and say, no, we're going to sit over there. No, follow their custom. You're on their turf. As long as this is not something that is violating any of the laws of Allah or His Messenger, follow the customs. Follow the customs. So in other places, in other families, in other cultures, they may have a different method of etiquette of whatnot, maybe at the dinner table or whatnot, he'll follow those customs. Yes, sir. Yes. Alhamdulillah. So yeah, also many people, it's part of the custom to remove your shoes before entering into the house. By the way, for a lot of people, that's actually weird. So they come to someone's house and they say, you know, brother, sister, take off your shoes. And it's like, no, I'm not going to take off. That's weird. That's strange. Then they find it insulting. So we have to understand that there's different customs. And this is something that is allowed. That happened to you? Is it?
It's actually in my culture.
It's part of your culture. To remove the shoes.
Yes.
Yeah.
The thing is, just say like your mother just
yes.
spent the last 2-3 hours cleaning the house.
And then you walk in there with the shoes.
Yeah, it's like, for all she knows, like you just step on poo.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yes, Donna. Yeah. Where would you like me to sit down? I don't want to impose. Maybe you go and you sit, you know, some people, they have a designated chair. I went to some person's house and it had a really nice recliner. You know, those like... And I had my eye on it from the moment I walked in. I was like, I want to sit there. And so I went and I sat there. And then the guy, the man of the house comes in. He was mad. He's like, only I sit there. Okay, خلاص, تفضل, go ahead. But it was comfortable. I can see why he was possessive over it. Some of those things are nice. طيب, can we continue? طيب, let's go to the next one. We spent a lot of time with this. I guess if we can bring all of this home. The idea is... that the Prophet ﷺ valued and cared about etiquette and treating people in a manner that was dignified and respectful and honoring those on his right and honoring the elders and whatnot. So from this you see that the Prophet ﷺ, and he asking permission. So you see that the Prophet ﷺ is attentive to these issues. Some people will overlook this thing. Ah, no big deal. Yeah, I know no big deal. But you're dealing with etiquettes and manners that can actually go a very long way. Something very small like that can go a very long way and can really open people's hearts and soften their hearts, mend relationships, allow people to live and thrive in a healthy environment. So adab is very, very important, and we see that the Prophet ﷺ values it. Okay, so that's about what he liked to drink. بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي صِفَةِ شُرْبِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So in this next chapter, chapter number 32, hadith number 206 and onwards. Okay. SubhanAllah, we spent so much time talking about customs and whatnot, so we don't want to go over too late. How the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to drink. So Imam al-Tirmidhi mentioned 10 hadith in this chapter. Let's see how much we can get done, inshallah. حدثنا أحمد بن منيع قال حدثنا هشيم قال حدثنا عاصم الأحول ومغيرة عن الشعبي عن ابن عباس أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شرب من زمزم وهو قائم. So in this first hadith on the authority of Ibn Abbas that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم drank Zamzam water and he was standing up. He was standing. In the next hadith, قال حدثنا قتيبة بن سعيد قال حدثنا محمد بن جعفر عن حسين المعلم عن عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده قال رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يشرب قائما وقاعدا. Both of these narrations have a صحيح, have an authentic, strong chain of narration. Ibn Abbas also says, سَقِيتُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ زَمْزَمْ فَشَرِبَ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ. I actually gave Zamzam water to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to drink, and he was standing up. So from these ahadith, we see that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would drink, sometimes sitting, and sometimes whilst standing. Because they said, do you have to sit down when drinking, you don't have to. However, the ulama said that it is preferred to sit while drinking, but it is not mandatory and it is not sinful to drink whilst standing. Some other ulama said, actually, hold on. And actually, one of my teachers, Sheikh Abdullah, a scholar from Mauritania, he said in Medina, he said, every hadith, this was from his research, he said, the hadith that mentioned the Prophet ﷺ drinking while standing was always Zamzam. We don't have any explicit mention of him drinking anything else while standing. So he said, the asl is to sit. The premise, the default, is to sit down when drinking. And the exception to the default is Zamzam. The exception to the default is Zamzam. So this is one understanding of the scholars when surveying the hadith. But the other narrations mention general. They mention it in an ambiguous manner. So we cannot definitively say that it is sinful or you must sit whilst drinking. The generality of the narrations inform us that it is permissible to drink while standing and while sitting, and many of the ulama said it is preferred to sit. طيب, in the next hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, actually I want to mention one thing from the previous chapter before we move on. I forgot to point it out, and then we'll conclude there because it is almost time for Isha. In the previous narration, the story of Ibn Abbas, you guys remember? Where he asked him, can I serve Khalid first? And he said, no, I want to go first. So in the end of that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ taught two du'as, two supplications. I forgot to mention them, so let's mention that. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ أَطْعَمَهُ اللَّهُ طَعَامًا فَلْيَقُلْ اللَّهُمَّ بَارِكْ لَنَا فِيهِ وَأَطْعِمْنَا خَيْرًا مِنْهِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, if Allah has provided you with some food, and you eat from that food, then say, as a prayer and supplication to Allah, O Allah, bless this food for us, and grant us food better than it. O Allah, bless this food for us, and grant us better food than this food. Then he continues. He said, وَمَنْ سَقَاهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ لَبَنًا فَلْيَقُلْ اللَّهُمَّ بَارِكْ لَنَا فِيهِ وَزِدْنَا مِنْهِ. That if anybody is given laban, is given milk, and they drink from it, then they should say, O Allah, bless this drink for us and increase us in it. Do you see the subtle difference between the two? In the first one, he said, when you have food, then say, O Allah, bless this food and give us better. And when it came to the laban, the milk, the Prophet ﷺ said, O Allah, bless it for us and give us more of it. وَزِدْنَا مِنْ And give us more of it. We'll stop there, inshallah ta'ala, so we can prepare for Salatul Isha. And if anybody has any questions, we'll stop at this point of the Prophet ﷺ drinking, sometimes standing and sometimes sitting. The next etiquette of drinking that we see of the Prophet ﷺ is how many sips he would take and the intervals between the different sips, and how he would dislike breathing into the container. We'll talk about that etiquette and why the Prophet ﷺ drank in that particular manner, inshaAllah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah adorn and beautify us with the character and practice and habits of the Prophet ﷺ. And may Allah, as He has gathered us here, gather us with the Messenger of Allah in the highest levels of Jannah. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. Allah is most high and most knowledgeable of all matters, and we beseech Him to shower our messenger with compliments and salutations. Usually we ask you folks for help in folding up the chairs. The good news tonight is, please don't do that. And you can celebrate. We don't need to fold any chairs tonight. And that is because tomorrow is a special event here at the masjid where they will be using the chairs. Do you guys know what the event of the masjid here is tomorrow? Who does not know? Raise your hand. Okay, good. So tomorrow is open mosque day, in which they have exhibits set up and information sessions and tours and whatnot. And the idea behind that is to encourage all the people that we know that are not Muslim to come and visit a masjid. You know, a lot of people, they hear about a masjid or they may drive past it, but they feel scared to go inside. They're like, I don't know what those people are doing inside there. So here is an opportunity to say, come inside and see what we're doing for yourself. So this is an opportunity for us to share our religion with others. Now, by the way, what's nice about this masjid is there's open mosque day every day. So there is an opportunity, because we have a full-time committee dedicated for that, you can actually facilitate for visitors and tours on any of the other days of the week, whether it's a group or individual. But this particular event, a lot of masajid in the region have come together to do this event on the same day, so that all of the doors of the masajid are opened on the same day. It's part of a greater community project. We ask Allah to bless the project and accept from all of those working in it. And so again, spread the word. If you know anybody in the area, or even if they're not from this area, you can bring them, you can invite them, and we would love to host them here at the masjid, inshallah ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam. If there's any questions, we'll inshallah take it as we walk and talk so we can go for Isha. Wassalamu alaikum.